to have this connection, making a connection feature via agency there. And I see it as a basic functionality, and I would like to iterate over it, and because it's good to have these basic features to have some view what will be necessary or to have in a framework and how it will be connected together. So I see it as a good starting point. And as a next step, I would like to collaborate on what should be the API of the framework from the developer perspective, and how to use it. And it's related to these two points, Corum and domain model, and this point, how to define API, and how to extend protocols in pluggable way. So that's like my thinking, and that's all I would like to have or to work on until or before we move to adding more protocols to the framework. So and actually we are using HTTP right now, but this could be also good to have it in place in the near future to prove our thinking about API that's convenient for usage with WebSockets and not only with HTTP. So yeah, I think that's kind of maybe if you have some questions around this, because when we went through it last time with demo and Karim, so.
This overall makes real sense. So if you scroll a little bit up, the current version has all these functions implemented, the connections, routing, then basic message is working with persistence. Connection persistence, I think it is still in memory currently.
It's already this is actually done by this pull request. You merged yesterday or today.
And the transport is there in HTTP. We have signature decorators. Maybe I'm not sure what you mean by that.
This is kind of simple stuff. I'll show you, and I think it would be where is that? Yeah, here it is. Okay, decorators. It's related to signing data with IndiCrypt to sign, basically. So if you want to sign a message. And we are basically using it for the signing connection response, I guess, or connection request message right now. So this function is for signing general message, or actually field in general in some message, and the same is for verification. So it's using these decorators around fields, and you can sign and verify the field in the message. So that's to that.
So that means, you know, when the message is signed, you put a signature decorator there, and when a signed message, when there is an incoming signed message, you can verify.
Yeah, actually, I think the test could demonstrate it pretty well. Here you can see the message. Mm-hmm. And I don't see decorator. Okay, I see how it works. You have a message, and if you put it into this sign function, you say message and what field of the message you want to sign. So there is a connection field. And that mm-hmm. that function takes this object and sign it, and then also at like convert it into this whole message, converts into this signed mm-hmm. message with this decorator, which means that the message contains signed attribute connection in this object. And then if you have like a signature of the data and sign data, I guess, together with your key.
And is this kind of messaging you use during the trusting or basic messaging?
You mean signature?
Yeah, the signing.
No. I think it's just used for the connection. Connection request, I think. Connection request or connection response, maybe both of them. Connection, I think you need to key of the other side. So I think it's for connection response, I guess, but I'm not sure. It's used just for this case in the framework currently, because it's part of the RFCS specification.
Okay. Yeah, so basically it's used for a very specific use case.
Right now it's used for this signing of the connections, but I think it's general feature. You can use it for other messages.
Got you. Okay. All right. So that was one thing. So my question was around, yes, I see most of this is already there with, you know, a good amount of test cases around. For the 1.0 that we are thinking, do we want to align with the DITCOM 1.0 protocols that are currently implemented already in ACAPI and .NET Framework? Or do you also want to look for the new ones, DITCOM 2.0, which is being discussed as part of DIF? So any thoughts on that?
Oof. To be honest, I am not sure. This is the first time I hear about the new version of the DITCOM. So I don't know, but from my point of view, it's not necessary to have it, because I don't know about changes in this new version, but I hope it won't change so much. So
mainly, you know, the Aries community, which was working on the DITCOM part, is now collaborating with DIF, and all the specifications are being built with the W3C model of specification development. And the major change is that the DITCOM spec is having is laser agnosticism. So In the current versions, you know, it is heavily tied with Indie. You know, the use of instead of using Indie-based semantics, there's a plan of using JSON, JSON-LD, GWM for messaging, and JSON web signatures. So the entire OSI stack is what being discussed as part of DITCOM 2.0, which will not depend on any underlying ledger.
Okay, I see. Actually, we are not depending on any ledger right now. So it's what I see as related to ledger in DITCOM is resolving of the ID document, and in the current framework, and I don't count with any ledger in that place. I just assume that the ID document is exchanged via making a connection protocol. So that shouldn't be so much issue, but it's a good point. I maybe look at it. And it's at least we can look at it and see if it's necessary right now to making changes towards this new version. But
I think the it's not finalized yet, and I've seen it. I think it's not that different, but I've seen they already started some beginner implementations of it. So I think it would be better if we wait till it's somewhat more final, and then the packages are available and we can use the DITCOM packages that are already implemented in Airways Framework JavaScript. So we don't have to re-implement the DITCOM logic.
Ah, okay. Good point. I agree with that.
I agree with you generally with Jimo.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody else is at the moment thinking of implementing the new diff version.
So I think some of that, like out of band messaging, is being implemented by Go team. It is framework Go. I have seen some implementations there, but yes, it's still in discussion. But they're close to, they're very close to conclude on that. Yeah, I have been attending these DIF meetings regularly. But yes, I think what we can do is we can focus on the roadmap 1.0 that you have laid out, and get this Aries Framework JS in a consumable state for others, which will at least be, you know, useful with existing agents like Akapai or .NET or Go on the edge side, and then progressively we can plan for subsequent versions. Till the time, you know, we will have maturity on the DIF side as well. That's my two cents.
Sounds great.
Okay, cool.
So anything else in 1.0 you think, you guys think we should think of adding, or do we have credential exchange here?
No credential exchange here.
Okay, you have listed it third last, but you know you're unsure about.
It is here. It is here, but with a question okay. mark. But
It's good to have credential exchange. We can get away. We can, you know, postpone the revocation part, but you know, having credential exchange would be more useful to the users.
Yeah, of course, but the problem is that it, right now it's not so convenient to add a new protocol, and that architecture, that API would probably change. So you know, I would like to change it for another protocols.
You mean?
But maybe it's because if we we can edit actually. That's not problem, and I would love to have it there. But as we have solved that API and like core architecture, we can I think it would be even simpler to add another protocol, and Currential Exchange would be probably the first another protocol to add.
So Jacob, just correct me if I'm thinking wrong. The goal of the Aries framework JavaScript is, if you look at the README, the what you laid out is mainly on the edge side, right? So we're not thinking this as a cloud agent framework. So the focus has been on having a edge agent, right? Whether it is on or on desktop, or which is with, and this will be running behind a mediator, some kind of mediator, mainly, you know, serving the holder side of it. Am I right?
Yeah.
So having this in mind, the credential exchange point that that is listed in the roadmap is basically to deal with receiving the credentials issued by the issuers using the existing agents, for example, ACAPI or .NET Framework kind of agents, and then storing them, creating, receiving proof request, generating the proof the proofs out of the credentials. So these are like 4 to 5 different operations that this JavaScript-based edge agents should be able to perform, being an edge agent from the credential management perspective. Is that correct understanding?
Yeah, it's correct. That's what I see as well. Right. So yeah,
right.
It doesn't have to be necessarily like it doesn't have to end it there.
Yeah,
it could be useful for it could be nice to have it like for the framework could work as a cloud agent. Also in the future, but yeah, you're right that the focus could be first on edge agent and holder role in use cases.
Right. So we can fulfill this one use case of being an edge agent first, and then in the subsequent version we can plan for the cloud agent kind of functionalities, so where you can create schemas or issue
creation. Yeah. That's right.
Right. How about Timo and Karim? What do you think about this approach?
I think the edge agent approach first is the best, because that's what and we can use it in React Native and that kind of stuff. I created the issue last week about the protocols we could use to talk as an edge agent to a mediator. And Framework Go also made some updates this week that would allow, at the moment, Framework JavaScript to be interoperable with Framework Go. So then we could use it all the way from an edge to a mediator and be a full agent.
And then we can, test with existing agents being a cloud agent. That way we can ensure the interoperability as well, that, JavaScript agent can interop with existing different kind of agents.
Yeah, I talked to Stephen this week about they have this, the test harness. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe we could, if we add a back channel to Aries Framework JavaScript, then we could test the interoperability.
Yeah.
Do that. I think that would be a great idea. If we do that from the start, then we won't have problems with the back channel needing to do some things in the framework we can't at the moment.
If that's the case, then we should add, I think Jacob has already added test suite compliance here at the end. So we can, consider the back channel approach for testing. That's a good idea, Timo.
Timo, if you have some idea how to add this back channel, and because to be honest, I am not so much aware of details of that back channel, how it should work, but I would be interested in it.
Yeah, sure. The idea behind this, because protocol test suite is like an implementation of an agent that tests another agent, and the test harness is not an agent, but it has back channels to agents, so it can control multiple agents at the same time and let them interact with each other. And you need to create a back channel for your agent. It's an HTTP server, and you get like, okay, now do this operation. So here's some data, you now have a connection, and then we're gonna send you commands you need to do. They already have implementations in Python for libvcx and AsaPy, but we need to make a back channel for JavaScript now. So what I now agreed with Stefan was to create an Swagger API spec, and then you can just generate the back channel, and then you only need to implement the handlers.
Can some part of the Python test harness, Timo, or you'll have to write everything from scratch in JavaScript?
What did you say?
Can we leverage the existing test harness of Python that they have built, or we'll have to build
We only need to implement a back channel. So that is, the back channel needs to be implemented for every agent specific. And the whole controller of the testing suite is written in Python, but it will call our HTTP server as a back channel. So we can reuse that, but there's no implementation of a back channel in JavaScript yet. So we can't use that.
Okay, got you. It's very interesting concept there, which was discussed in Aries Connectathon last year in December. And I think there are some videos available where the BCGO team has explained this concept in detail. I'll find out that video. Great.
Cool. I think it would help us also with defining this API, as I mentioned. So this could be good, another point of view or usage of the framework.
Yep. Okay, so the focus has been on agent-to-agent connections, connection persistence. Any ideas on the database persistence that you're thinking, Jacob, or it's still open for discussion?
Actually, this is also an issue. I see it as an issue. I mentioned it in this pull request related to connection persistence, and I'm still like not sure, or I'm not sure whether the way how we approach these repository interfaces is a good way. So that's something I would like also to maybe to have it like in this version 1.0, and I think it's also related to these API.
You mean designing the core domain model and what kind of process?
Yeah. I mean, like I see these like together, core domain model and API of the framework, and also persistence or repository storage mechanism.
Do you think we should spend some time together whenever we get time mutually?
I see. I have some ideas about how to move it forward, and what I should say that I already implemented this part, kind of. It's not finished yet, but I will prepare pull request with it.
Okay.
And actually Maybe I can show it. Yeah, it's here. Yeah, it's here, I guess. So if you compare it, I can show you briefly. Basically, yeah, I think it's this piece of code. So I add some provision method, and it's highly inspired by .NET framework. And actually, I think it's this is the .NET framework implementation, and you can see there's some Aries Routing Edge and provisioning service actually for that. So this is kind of similar implementation. They are just getting routing key as service endpoint. This is like agency key and endpoint, and basically creating connection with that agency via connection service, and then setting this endpoint as agency. So I did it some kind of in a similar way as they do it. And what's missing there is this part. I didn't do this part at all.
We need to call
but me. But this feature is also there, and I add also this pickup protocol and into this this branch. Mm-hmm. I hope or I promise that these are like two last protocols I'm adding, because as I mentioned, I would like to focus more on the. Right now, I'd like to focus more, instead of adding new protocols, I would like to focus more on the API and core architecture of the framework. I think this would help us also to look at it as the, you know, this also demonstrates how to use the return route feature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of related to that responder I have in my roadmap. Mm-hmm. So you will see it in that pull request I will make after. This part like responder, yeah, which means how to send message and wait for the response and react on that immediately. So yeah, that's kind of what I have added into that. Actually, I still need to add.
Do you think? Sorry to interrupt you. Do you think we should have Mediator as a separate instance rather than mixing that up in the Edge agent?
How I do it right now is that I have Mediator represented by this agency file in the samples, and I'm using it for tests. Mm-hmm. And that's actually also a good question if we want to, because what I like about it is that it demonstrates like end-to-end usage with HTTP calls and everything, but it's on the other hand it's like maybe more implementation than it's necessary to have for these end-to-end tests. So
in my opinion, this agency.ts is basically just a REST endpoint to the framework, to the Edge agent, and nothing else. But what I was thinking is Mediator is basically an independent entity altogether, which receives messages from different kind of issuers or verifiers from their cloud agents or their routing or relaying agents from the agency. And then it holds or queues those messages for the time being. And then when the holder is on, up and running, and holder is requesting the messages, it just forwards that those messages to the respective holder. as long as the holder is registered in the mediator. So it's a very simple implementation, but I'm thinking that what we have done for our customers is we have implemented mediator as a separate instance, in a separate agent than the cloud agent, or not even, you know, merged with Edge agent. So there is a completely different code base and instance. Yeah.
How the I saw the .NET framework, how they approach it is, and I think that's maybe a good approach. They have like an agent interface, and they have the base agent that implements it and has no functionality, but everything set up for encrypting, decrypting messages in a DITCOM. And then they have a default agent, an edge agent, and a mediator agent, and they all at different protocols.
That's correct. So the reason that they have is they are leveraging the abstraction that is defined in their agents, agent framework.
I think a good approach for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I'm talking about the deployment from the deployment perspective. Like, you know, what you're explaining is right from the code of repository maintenance perspective, but from the deployment perspective, in my opinion, there it has to be a separate deployment. What I can do is, in the next meeting, I can present the mediator implementation that we have done and show you the topology of how things work with each other, with the edge agent and the mediator and cloud agent together. So that will give us one perspective of how things are working, and we can definitely deliberate on that.
That's good.
I also like this approach that we should, because right now it's like I'm trying to like create agent and like have all together, all protocols and all features together, and I like an idea that to get a step back and create something as Timo mentioned, they have in to have empty, basically empty or like really simplified instance and adding like dependencies and other modules to it. So yeah, that's definitely what I see as a good way, and that's what kind of also related to defining API of the framework. So,
and then we'll have code reuse as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, Penny, coming back to the roadmap, and if you think any action items for anyone on a voluntary basis?
Yeah, actually, one action item I will start right now here is framework API issue. And we can discuss it in here. I will put some thoughts. About that, and we can discuss it in here.
Perfect. Yeah, I'd like to contribute to this part. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the Go implementation has, I saw, have a separate folder with all the API for the framework consumer. So like each protocol or feature has a different API that I don't know exactly how they do it, but maybe we can take a look how they approached it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can have a look at it. Yeah, that will give us some insights from,
Actually, my next step, what I would like to do after this come up with this in here. Yeah. After this feature or this pull request I will create is at least I would like to start with creating or importing these protocols as modules. That's one idea I have. I would like to also do. What I mean is that you can see that I'm importing like everything from this connection, for example.
Yeah, protocol. That's right. That's right.
So you know, I would like to have just index file in every protocol and import these all files from that. And then I see we discussed it briefly previous. What I see that we will have like modules, and modules will have some API, and these modules could have like dependencies on each other. Let's say that I have trust pink, or what could be a good idea, good demonstration. Yeah, maybe basic message service could be some like module, basic message module, which requires as a connection service, for example, as dependency. And then this module just calls some get module method of agent, and defines what other module it needs, but it could happen in runtime. So that's kind of my thinking. I'll put it into that framework API issue, and you'll see it there. We can move forward.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Anything else on the action item? Yes, API is one. Anything else you guys would like to suggest?
Maybe Timo, if you have something related to that, how was it? Back channel and test suite. If you have any ideas about that, and or how it should look like, I would be interested into that. You can create some issue or some branch around it. It would be really really great.
Yeah, I think I will first create an issue, and I just looked at it quick, so I don't really know exactly how we should do it, but mm-hmm. It's something I will look into.
That would be great to also map our roadmap with the Aries intra profile 1.0, which has been defined by the community, and I hope the test harness also aligns with the intra profile.
Yeah. But I see it as another step, maybe, because I'm afraid that there is a lot of stuff we don't have in this Aries interop protocol.
I agree. Yeah.
But yeah, that's something I actually would like to move toward.
Yeah, maybe a second step. Yeah, I agree with you. All right. So I think we. This looks good for at least a few weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
So if there is nothing else, I think we can...
I have one question. What's the status of the dependency injection? Because if I would start coding it, I think it would be best if that part is implemented, because it will change the whole structure of the repo.
Right. There are two approaches being discussed for dependency injection. One is suggested by Gaurav earlier, and another one is provided by NestJS. But I personally think that the approach that Gaurav suggested is more lightweight. do you remember, Jacob, the name of the that dependency injection container or tool? I think Inversify.js or something.
Inversify. Yeah.
That is more lightweight, I guess. So we can, you know, start using it than doing Nest.js based TI container, because Nest.js brings a lot of additional baggage for a library kind of project. It's good for a server side project, Inversify.js is pretty lightweight that way. So
I don't see it right now as a what library we should use, but I'm afraid that we have still problem with that core domain and API framework.
That will parallelly happen.
I think it's kind of related also to this dependency injection container.
No, but the core domain model that we are going to design with, it is not really dependent on what DI container we want to use. It is irrespective of what we DI container we want to use. We will design it, right? We will not really be dependent on that. Yes, but parallelly we can also evaluate what suits best for our kind of scenario, whether it is Nest.js or Inversify or any other third one. But we should not hold on to these, evaluating these tools until we, design the core domain model.
Okay. So then I see, I like that Nest.js more than that Inversify in that case.
Okay.
I think
we can build both the examples and, have a look at it and see the comfort. It's basically maybe a personal choice, but yeah, it's okay.
I think Nest.js has, I don't know about in first five, but I looked at Nest.js a bit and they have a lot of extra tools also for serialization and deserialization and that kind of stuff, what we could use to create message classes and have automatic serialization, deserialization for all message types, which I think would be a great addition.
That sounds great too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Inversify has that, but I think Inversify is mainly for dependency injection, right?
Inversify.js.
That's
specifically designed for DI, inversion of control container.
Yeah, but good point with the serialization. I am adding it into the roadmap. It's kind of related to the storage also. I found
serialization of can you elaborate that part when you say serialization of which kind of objects? Hello. Hello.